Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.
Commander Chris Ferguson landing Atlantis safely at Florida's Kennedy Space Center this morning, marking, as he said, the end of the 30-year shuttle adventure, with a big question mark hanging over the future of America's space program. And while the U.S. has returned to Earth, China is blasting off.
国舰飞行约26分钟后，西安卫星测控中心传来的数据表明，Chinese
television reporting on the launch of the satellite Tianlian-1B earlier this month. That's China's latest venture in space. And China has big ambitions. Joining us to talk about them, Dean Cheng, an expert on China's space program at the Heritage Foundation. Dean, we know the Chinese are famous for their five-year plans, and they have those plans for space exploration. What are they?
One of the big milestones will be the deployment of China's first space lab, Tiangong-1, which will probably go up in about the next 2 months or so, and also China's first lunar rover, an unmanned robotic vehicle that will do some sample taking on the moon, which will probably go up in 2013.
Well, and the Chinese are doing so much, but as they point out, you know, they had a late start.
Yes, that's very true. China's first satellite went into space in 1970, 13 years after Sputnik, and China only put its first man into space in 2003.
And so what do they hope to gain? Is it just to catch up and to make sure they have a space program? Is it spoken out loud they want to take over where it looks like the U.S. is stepping back?
No, there's actually not very much direct comparison with the American space program. The Chinese space program is remarkably opaque. Some experts say it's even less transparent than the Soviet one. But we theorize that the most important aspects are it provides economic impetus by inspiring people to become engineers, to innovate in key areas such as telecommunications, computers, advanced materials. There's certainly a diplomatic and domestic political prestige aspect, and there's also a military component to this. It's important to remember that China's space program is administered by the People's Liberation Army.
As opposed to the U.S. space program, which is run by NASA, as you say, in China, the military is in charge. So does that aspect of China's space program and this idea of prestige, you know, everybody sat up straight when the U.S. put a man on the moon or when Tang, you know, is brought up to the moon. There's something about that. How do U.S. officials respond to that, this idea that, you know, China may be the one making the rest of the world sit up straight?
Well, I think that there are a number of different reactions to this. Will there be a Chinese version of Tang? The Chinese have actually publicized all of the menus for their various astronauts, so it wouldn't surprise me if there are Chinese kids out there clamoring for space food sticks, Kung Pao chicken flavored. But also another piece to this is to, as China prepares for its political transition next year, to basically be able to say to the Chinese population, this is what we, the Chinese Communist Party, have achieved. We have made China only the third country in the world to put its own man into space.
Well, Dean, as we know, the shuttle program has been shut down, meaning the International Space Station is going to be served by Russian flight until it's closed in 2020. And that's the same year the Chinese space station is scheduled to open. You know, thoughts on that, the Chinese having the space station?
The Chinese are interested in matching other people's achievements and exceeding them. China's firsts have always been bigger, heavier, longer lasting than foreign counterparts. So if China decides to push ahead on its own space station, you can expect that it will be bigger, probably be up there longer than the International Space Station.
Well, and what about matching other U.S. and Russian achievements? Do the Chinese talk about putting a man on the moon?
Yes. At this point, the Chinese are taking a very step-by-step process. They're doing robotic lunar landers probably through the 2017 period. They're talking about a man in orbit. That'll be through 2020. So probably in the 2025 time frame, there's no official word on this yet, but it's quite likely that the Chinese are thinking about a Chinese man on the moon in the 2025 time frame.
Well, in your sense, Dean, of how the Chinese talk about that, because one of your first thoughts could be, wow, a man on the moon in 2025 might elicit a big yawn from places like the U.S., you know, been there, done that. You know, why would China want to do that? And, you know, how might that feel? Might that be short-sighted, you know, in 2025 to think of that as something that had been done decades before, you know, who cares? Might there be some huge advantage that the Chinese might then have, having done it?
Only one country, of course, has gone to the moon. That's the United States. So for China to be able to put a man on the moon will firmly establish China's place in the world.
Even if it's so many decades after the U.S.?
Even if it's 56 years later, it is saying that China is ahead of Russia, China is ahead of Europe, China is ahead of Japan. Second of all, again, the Chinese lunar landings will probably be a bigger splash than Apollo. So you can expect that the Chinese will probably send more missions to the moon. They may well be the first to put a permanent or semi-permanent base on the moon, simply because that's how the Chinese tend to be doing their major firsts. Third, this would also establish China as capable of engaging in real science. This is the sort of thing where they would be doing experiments on the moon, not simply bringing samples back. And finally, what is it going to mean when Americans are not the only people who can say, we put a man on the moon, we can solve X, Y, and Z?
Again, back to that question, though, of security. Those who argue that the U.S. should still be wanting to travel to the moon, George W. Bush was one. Many supporters of that say it's a security issue. If in 2025 the Chinese have a military-backed man on the moon, they might have a military advantage. I mean, I know it sounds very futuristic, but what if there are then weapons on the moon pointed at adversaries of China? You know that debate.
I do. I think that is perhaps the least of our worries, simply because putting weapons on the moon in terms of being able to affect things on Earth or Earth orbit is remarkably expensive. There are alternative ways to do things. But in terms of the politics involved, it will mean that China will have leverage, if only because it will be able to say there are people up there, Chinese military people, always looking down on you. That will begin to have an effect, not necessarily on the United States, but certainly on China's neighbors and places like Taiwan.
That's Dean Cheng, research fellow for Chinese political and security affairs at the Heritage Foundation, talking about where China is in space travel as the U.S. shuts down its shuttle program. Dean, thanks so much.
Thank you.